Tonight, please, I was going to ask you to stand, but I don't think I will. So if everyone would just come and find a place to be seated. Brother Leonardson, I don't know why, but my mind went all the way back to junior camp or some years and years ago. Brother Leonardson was a young person in the Eau Claire Church, and I was Sunday school director, and we made birdhouses, and he was there to help. Just a young man, never dreamed that all these years later, 40 years or whatever, that he would be up singing, and especially doing the great job that he does. Praise God. Now, what I want to do is just want to start talking about a few things, and then we'll just go right into the message. I really do thank the Lord for the Christmas for Christ offering. I really spent a lot of time in the month of December praying about the direction for the year. Two things that came to my mind. One is pray more. The second thing is give more. And I thought about when we first built our first phase out here and how we gave all of our building fund money away. And then the next phase that we built, which was this auditorium, I told the Lord and I said, I don't want to put it up unless this next year after putting it up, we can turn in record offerings for Mother's Memorial, Christmas for Christ, Cheese for Christ, World Missions, our camp. And sure enough, we put this up and we turned in record offerings for all of these. Then in the last 4 or 5 years, while the offerings have been good, very good, I can't say they were record offerings. That's why this year I wanted to start out by having at least $12,500 for Christmas for Christ. I think last year it was like $9,000. So we've already gone over the $12,500. So I think it'd be good if we could just go up to around $15,000. Wouldn't that be great? Still got a couple of weeks. Now, we're not going to be taking a special offering, but you can give at any time. Just make sure that you designate your money. We will be having our annual business meeting here on Tuesday night, February 1st. This is the only night that we could line up with Sister Amy Grinnell that does our books. We had a great year. Financially, it wasn't quite what was better in certain areas than 2009, but overall, I think maybe 2009 was a little bit better, especially in areas when it comes to department funds that are raised. The tithing this year, the church went $639,000, which is considerably better than 2009. With the daycare and everything, our overall giving went to $1.6 million. It's a lot of money, especially when your expenses or up close to that. But thank the Lord for our church board, and I thank the Lord for church secretary and treasurer like Carolyn Thorpe, who really watches these funds. We take any ministers out to eat. She thinks we should split meals with them, but that's just a joke, you know. There is no bigger tightwad in the world than Carolyn Thorpe. And she's not liking what I'm saying. But I told the Lord I'd speak the truth tonight, Carolyn. You know. No, in all seriousness, that was just a joke. But she does really care, and she watches the funds, and I really do appreciate that. Appreciate it so much. Then Sister Grinnell coming in. Sister Grinnell, you may not know this, but she is the chief financial officer for Dean Health Services. So she's got one big job. She's not here tonight because she's working. And Brother Stacy came the other Sunday morning. He said, this is the first day I've had off since before Thanksgiving. So, you know, a lot of unemployment. There's a lot of work, however. There's not much money. So, I really appreciate that. And then when we took our recent PIM pledges, I prayed for $15,000. I prayed for $150,000 in pledges. Brother Lehman was praying for $15,000 a month. Well, we went $15,500, $15,600 a month. And for the year, if all the pledges come in, it'll be $186,000 something that we will have. And we are certainly wanting to send money out all over the world. We're presently sponsoring 92 PIMs. Now, let me explain the PIM. The PIM stands for Partners in Missions. So the PIM, Partners in Missions. Now, that is what we sponsor our foreign missions missionaries with. People who are here in North America, we have a metro evangelism, we sponsor those. And then with Christmas for Christ funds, we open up new churches in North America, that is United States and Canada. Then here in Wisconsin, we have what we call a PROP program, P-R-O-P. Works just like the PIM. We just use a different name so that we don't get them confused. PROP is Pentecostals Reaching Other People. Okay? So we call it the PROP program. Presently, we're sponsoring 92 foreign missionaries, and some of those we have not raised the amount in years. Some of them are still at $25. I think they go from 25 up to 200 or maybe even more. I think Brother and Sister Demas, Brother Phil Demas' mom and dad, I think we sponsor them. How much? 110. So most of ours are though in 25 to 50, some 75. But when we raise these funds for world missions, when the money comes in, then we pay monthly. We're billed from our headquarters church in St. Louis, and we pay monthly a pledge called Partners in Mission Pledge. Now, Partners in Missions doesn't just deal with money, but it simply means that we, in sponsoring these people, we also agree that we will pray regularly for them. So the support comes from the home church, because a lot of missionaries, in fact, this is true in most countries. If you are a resident missionary from the United States and you go, I don't know of any country you can go into and just get a job and support yourself. You have to have backing, because these countries do not want U.S. dollars taken. Or they don't want their money, rather, to go to U.S. citizens. United States is very unique, isn't it? In that foreigners can come in and buy all the banks up and buy all the automobile industries up and buy all the apartments and restaurants and everything. And I don't know how much property is owned in the United States by non-U.S. citizens, but you can't do that in most of the world. You can't. So when our missionaries get there, if we don't send the money in, guess what? Then they have to go without. The safety factor is that it's made up. A missionary's monthly salary is made up of many different churches contributing a small amount. And that's a safety factor, because if Calvary Gospel Church doesn't send theirs, it won't affect them that much. But it has to come in before it goes out. Occasionally, there are some special situations where missionaries come by and say, my PIM account is in the red $5,000. That's because that they have received promises from churches that just didn't come through. So please understand, when you pledge, make sure that on a monthly basis that you do your very best to pay. Also, we sponsor metro missionaries. I'm not for sure just how many. I think 4. And then we have about 10 missionaries here in our state that we sponsor. Now, all of these, we call them partners in missions. Now, they cannot make it without us. They're depending on us. Now, this message tonight, I have titled it, Jesus, My PIM, My Partner in Mission. In other words, He's my sponsor. And just as I can't make it, our missionaries can't make it without us, I can't make it without Him either. Now I go to John, the 20th chapter. This is when Jesus appears to His disciples, all of them but Thomas. Thomas was not present. In the verse 19, and you do not need to stand, I'm well into this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them. Now, He had already been resurrected. He had a different body. He just walked right through the wall. It's like His Holy Spirit walks right through this wall and walks among us. Jesus stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Basically what He's saying is, hold a minute, don't be frustrated. There's a reason why. Now, maybe you can't understand that, but if all of a sudden Jesus walked through the wall and you could actually see Him, see His nail-scarred hands, and He walked up here, what would your reaction be? I don't know what my reaction would be, to tell you the truth. I will say this. I would say there'd be some kind of a commotion going on around. You know, and that's what He's saying. Hold it just a minute. Don't be all confused. And when He had so said, He showed unto him His hands and His side. Then were His disciples glad when they saw the Lord. In other words, He was dead. He was in a tomb. Now He was resurrected, but we haven't seen Him. So, my, what were they to think? Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. In other words, they're going to be sponsored by Jesus Christ, just as we are sponsored by Jesus Christ. And He gave them the commission. And in the New Testament, they practiced this. You remember when Paul and Barnabas were sent out from Antioch, they laid hands on them and they anointed them and sent them out. Now the word anointed comes in, which is part of this message. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now we know they didn't receive the Holy Ghost until the day of Pentecost, but he was giving them that promise. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now he said, I want you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And then he said, and Samaria. Samaria was a part of Judea. But it was the despised part, the part that the Jewish people didn't particularly care for, because the Samaritans were remnant people who were half Jew and half Gentile. And the Jewish people, sometimes they had an attitude. They thought they were God's elite. You know, you can be chosen by God, but that does not give you the right to have a bad attitude toward other people. So when he said, in all Judea, he backed up and said, but don't forget Samaria. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, they were to do this when they were empowered with the Holy Ghost. That's where the power came from. For whosoever sins you remit, they shall be remitted, and to whosoever sins you retain, they shall be retained. Now I'll go back to John, the 15th chapter. I want to read one verse. It comes from a parable that Jesus gave. John 15:5. He's talking about you're the fruit, I am the vine, you're the branch. You're familiar with that. Verse 5, I am the vine and you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. But Paul says in the book of Philippians, by me, you could do all things. Isn't that something? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So let's just talk about Jesus, my PIM. First, let's talk about Jesus, the anointed one. I say first as part of this. Jesus, the anointed one. Now, the Jewish people look for the Messiah. They expect the Messiah to come. The Christ, the word Christ means what? It means the anointed one. Isaiah 66, and we read verse 1 and 2. I hope I have the right scripture here. I have a feeling I don't have the right scripture. No, because I have my marker in a different place. So let me go back and see if I can spot this real quick, like, okay? Isaiah 61, pardon me. Verse 1 and verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. I got this 66 in my brain. You ever get something in your brain and can't get it out? Sometimes mine clears out and I can't get anything back in. Does that ever happen to you? You know. My wife, before her hair turned silver, she always blamed it on her being a blonde. She said, remember, I'm a blonde. What? If I tell a blonde joke, you don't like it. So I came up with this conclusion, you know. She convinced me of this. Now, I don't see her anyplace in the house. Okay. Some of you precious ladies are blonde. But I told her, I said, you know how many blonde jokes they are? None. All of that stuff is really true. Now, that was just a joke, okay? Please, all of you precious ladies that are blonde, don't come up and pull my hair. I don't have any to spare, but... Now, where was I? Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, you remember when Jesus Christ was baptized of John in Jordan? The Bible says, well, let's back up to his birth. The conception took place by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived. The Bible says John the Baptist was born full of the Holy Ghost. Now, if John the Baptist was born full of the Holy Ghost, you know, we're not going to say less of Jesus. Because it was the Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary. All right? Now, when he walked through life, he did not start his ministry until he was 30 years of age. There's a reason for that. Because that happens to be the appointed time in which the Jewish male was considered to be an adult. Everyone under 30 as a Jewish male was considered to be a child. You know, if you read concerning Isaac, that Abraham took the child, but it is believed that Isaac was probably up close to 30 years of age. Now, how could his dad, being as old as he was, 130 years old, how could he put him and tie him on a stack of rocks, which was an altar? Except that Isaac was 100% submissive to his father. Dad says, get up there and I'm going to tie you up. Then that's what I'm going to do. Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ. When it came time for Jesus Christ to die on the cross, what happened? He gave himself. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. So he gives himself. He could have come down, but he was totally submissive to the Spirit. Now, the thing about it is, when he was baptized in Jordan, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came down upon him like a dove and remained there. While he was the Holy Ghost embodied, that was the anointing of God. That's when he was anointed to do this. And by anointment, we simply mean a special empowerment from the Holy Ghost. Now, all of you are acquainted with this. Have you ever gone to the Lord in prayer and you just felt like a dried up piece of fruit? Now, that doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean that at all. Because you see, the Holy Ghost, when it's given to you, doesn't just jump in and out of you. Hey, I missed today's prayer. The Holy Ghost doesn't just jump out and say, okay. But the best that I can describe it is that The anointing is when the Holy Ghost is flowing in you and yet flowing back out of you. See, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers, not one, but several. See, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell from whence it cometh. And the Bible says, so is every man that is born of the Spirit. In other words, what angle does the Holy Spirit come from? Now, you could draw a simple circle, a plane. You can divide it into degrees, 360 degrees. But you have to remember that if you took that simple plane circle and you made a ball out of it, you think about how many slices of 360 degrees you can get out of that and how many degrees are actually involved in it. And that's what the Lord was saying when he said the Holy Ghost comes. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes. You know, it can come from the side, it can come from the back, it can come from the front, it can come from the bottom, it can come any place. And that's what happens when you start praying, and all of a sudden the anointing of God, that means the Holy Ghost comes into you and starts flowing out of you. It can flow out your ears, it can flow out your eyes, it can flow out your tongue, it can flow out your hands, your fingers, it can flow out your feet. And when it does, people recognize it. They see it. So, you know, here's the thing. It remained on Jesus Christ. Now, the problem we have sometimes as Christians, we can go teach a home Bible study. Before we get there, we pray and the anointing of God comes because the Spirit comes into us and flows through us. And when we get there, our Bible study student says, oh my, this, I can't believe what I felt tonight. This is terrific. Next week, you don't have a lesson. Week after that, you go and you've been busy all day and neglected prayer, and you go in, you sit down and you teach, and there's nothing flowing and nothing happening. In other words, the dove didn't stay there. And then the next day afterwards, you get a call from your Bible study student and says, you know, I reconsider. I don't think I'm going to take this study anymore. Of course, you know, it's always their fault. You know that, don't you? It's never ours, because we got the truth and we got the Holy Ghost. It's always their fault. You follow what I'm saying? This is the reason why that I think that you need to partner with Jesus every day. Every day. Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke 7, verse 19. John the Baptist sends his disciples to question about Jesus Christ. John was in prison. He was about to be executed, and John just needed a confirmation, because he introduced Christ. Is this really the Christ, or should we look for another? John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? That same hour, what Jesus did, he just kind of left them there without saying anything, and he began to cure many of their infirmities. That's the people that were around. and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering, after he did all that, he looked at them and he answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what you have seen. The blind were healed. Evil spirits departed. The maimed, the lame, the deaf. Because that's what the Messiah, the anointed one, was to do. You know, I hear this all the time. I hear people saying, you know, they try to deal with this Godhead issue, and they say, what about Jesus Christ? He prayed. I've heard a lot of apostolics say, yeah, he prayed because he wanted to be an example for us. That's not why he prayed. Listen to me. Jesus Christ prayed because he needed to pray. Now, he is an example for us in that if he needed to pray, how much more should we need to pray? But he didn't pray just to be an example. He prayed because he needed to pray. And you read his life, and you see how he was used of God. And I'm trusting that there are people that sit under the sound of my voice tonight that are questing for a deep, personal relationship with God in which they can really be used. Trust me when I tell you this. If it took long hours of prayer for Jesus Christ to keep the dove on his shoulder, it's going to take some digging in. And the thing about it is, if you have the right attitude about prayer, well, what I find that so many people have this attitude, man, I don't know if I can do that. As if prayer is some kind of a, I'm not saying it doesn't take discipline. And for the most part, when it comes to Christianity, discipline is the name of the game. But let me tell you something, when it comes to our relationship with God, when you go in the presence of God, and if it's always just discipline, 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 making yourself stay, it's not going to work very long. But if you're in love with the Lord, if you love him because he first loved you, and there's intimacy there, let me tell you something. When you pray, there's going to be something that's pushing this out of you. And you pray until that river starts flowing. I just don't see how we can see the miracles that we need to see. I'm talking about on a broad basis until every last one of you become a partner with Jesus Christ. And just as he was a partner with God the Father, he said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of him that sent me. He speaks the words. Not that Jesus Christ could turn it on like a radio or turn it off. It wasn't it. He was fully man just like me, and yet he was God with us. And God allowed the humanity of Jesus Christ to be subject to all the temptations and such. Don't you know that when Jesus scolded those disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane because they wouldn't pray, don't you know that he experienced the same moment of time somewhere in his life when he didn't want to pray and he didn't want to stay awake? But he knew, if the dove stays here, now he didn't go around with a literal dove, but you don't understand what I'm talking. If the dove stays here, I got to stay on my knees. Because tomorrow is a new day, and there's all kinds of people that need touch. You think about the needs in our world. They're just so great. I said the needs in our world, they're just oh so great. Acts the 10th chapter, verse 38, when Peter is preaching to Cornelius, he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I tell you, I want a relationship with God. I got to tell you, what I want to see in my ministry, and I know I've got a whole lot more time behind me than I have ahead of me. I want to see many more miracles. I don't know how many people I prayed for that had terminal cancer that had been healed. I prayed for people that have broken bones that literally sawed their cast off. I didn't tell them to do that, but prayed for a teenage girl in Racine one time. She went home and had her dad to take the saw, and they sawed the cast off. She just started walking. She'd only broken the day before. And finally, some of the people in church said, you better go get that checked out. I didn't tell her to do that. But you know what happened? She went in, and the doctor x-rayed and said, well, we must have made a mistake. There is absolutely no evidence anywhere that her bone was ever broken. Isn't that something? Jesus said in John 5, verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Can we of our own selves do anything? Now, I'm not going to tell you to just stop praying when you don't feel the anointing. I'm talking about stop praying for people. But I am saying this, that if you really want to be successful, you need that Holy Spirit flowing into you and flowing out of you all the time. We're partners with Him. His mission, He knew His purpose. And we must know our mission, and we must know our purpose. And we know that just as we support the people that we send overseas with prayer and with regular support, He has promised that He will do what? Support us. He even said, I'll go with you. He said, I'll go ahead of you. He also says, I'll walk beside you as a comforter. He even says in the book of Psalms, you know what I'll do? I'll take some of my attributes and I'll cover your backside, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. That's our God. And just as the words that He spoke were not His own, God, take this tongue and let this tongue speak the oracles of God, so that when I speak and I'm witnessing and I'm testifying, it's almost like Jesus Christ is there preaching. In Mark 16:20, they went everywhere, the Lord working with them. With them, confirming the word with signs following. Let me tell you, it won't be confirmed if He's not with you. They won't feel it. You think, I just read a scripture out of the Bible, and because it's Bible, it's going to have an effect on people. Well, it might have some effect, but it's not going to have the effect that God would want it to have if you had the dove on your shoulder, so to speak. Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? And the greatest confidence, the greatest comfort that I have as a minister is that I know he backs me. I know he supports me. He had a partner in mission. We have a PIN. The world really doesn't need you. As righteous and holy and as nice as you are, the world needs Jesus Christ. I'm thinking too often Christians want to project themselves out. This is the reason why the Bible speaks of the great importance of humility. Now, humility is not trying to be some old worn-out shoe. Humility is just thinking of yourself the way you ought to. Always giving glory to God for what you are. See? Because we realize that just as Jesus, when he walked, he brought God. He was God with us. Now, he commissioned us. We're his feet. We're his hands. We're his tongue. He walks in us. He talks in us. He reaches the lost through us. He loves the world through us. This is the reason why we must be full of his presence and have it running over. We not only must be, we want to be full of his presence. We want it running over. I remember a minister of another faith started to work on the job that I was working on, working in an office doing, working with the engineering department, making templates and such for the fabrication department. So in walks this minister, introduces himself, and so I introduced myself and said, I'm a Baptist minister. And so I told him that I was Pentecostal, and he was familiar with that. So we talked, and after two or three days, you know, he's questioning me about speaking in tongues and about this. So you spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came? I sure did. He says, well, you don't believe in once saved, always saved, do you? And I said, no, which he did. He said, let me ask you this. You say that tongues is initial sign of the Holy Ghost. You spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. What about today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Are you going to feel confident in God? I said, yes. He said, why? I said, well, I spoke in tongues yesterday. I spoke in tongues today already. I'm going to speak in tongues tomorrow. I'm going to speak in tongues the day after tomorrow. And if you are in this congregation and you received the Holy Ghost sometime back and you haven't spoken in tongues, you need to make a beeline to the altar and get as many people around you as possible. And you need to get the Holy Ghost coming in you and flowing out of you again. A couple of days later, we continue to talk. You know what he told me? He says, you know, Frank McBride, he was the shop foreman. He said, when he hired me and put me in here, he said, you know, I want you to watch Grant because he'll convert you. Frank McBride and I had many, many great conversations. It all came to an abrupt end one day when in our conversation, because he went to a Wesleyan church, we talked about John Wesley. I said, now, so if you belong to a Wesleyan church and you want to find out what you believe, you'd probably go read about John Wesley. I said, you know, the whole problem with this is that if John Wesley was 100% right in everything he taught, then it's okay to do that. But if John Wesley's not 100% right in everything he taught, and you're following after him, you'll never be 100% right. But I will say this, Frank. If you will be honest and you will get Wesley's writings out, John Wesley was much closer to what I believe than what you folks are today. Pounded down on his desk, and he let out a few choice words. Now, of course, he's a good Wesleyan. He said, for some reason, I was afraid you might catch on to that. He said, I know that, and that's what bothers me so much. He said, that just bothers me. He never, from that day on, wanted to talk religion again. That was it. But there's some people that are where they are because that's just what they want to be, just the way it is. But that doesn't mean we can't have a spiritual dialogue with these people. Be kind to them. I found this out. Give every man all the credit you can for his relationship with his God. There's some people that are loving God with everything they know. They're not in full truth simply because they just don't know full truth. Man that did the night shift where I was working, he was a deacon in a church across the road from where he was. And would you believe that this gentleman, he came in, he found out I'd received the Holy Ghost. And I was out in a shop and I was helping a guy at a turntable that had a cutting torch and cutting a great big piece of metal. And he walked up to me and said, hey, I want to talk with you. Yeah, he said, I hear you went to this Holy Roller church and received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. I said, yes, I did. Without thinking, he picked up a crowbar and he drew it back. He said, that makes me so mad. He said, I think I'm going to hit you with this. I said, well, I'd hope you wouldn't do it. But I said, I got to tell you something, Clarence. First name was Clarence. I said, what I received is genuine. You know what? I didn't see him for 2 weeks. I went in and talked with Frank. I said, where is Clarence? He said, I hate to tell you, John, but I think we're going to have to let him go. He's been on a drunk 2 weeks. He shows up in my office one day. He said, I really messed up. He said, I started reading the Bible, and I got so confused, I thought, I'm just going to go get drunk. I had big whips all over his body. He said, I need help. I think I have a demon. That's what he told me. I think I have a demon. He said, you think you could pray that demon out of me? Nobody's in our office. We were working after hours. I was. He just was busy. I lay hands on him and prayed for him. Took him over to the Pentecostal church. Doyle Spears was pastor there. They baptized him in Jesus' name. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. I want the dove to stay on my shoulder. I want to be the anointed one. I want to feel his presence. And I want people, when they get near me, to feel his presence. You come in here when people are anointed and worshiping God. How many people, Brother Thomas, have we talked to? You just talked to one today. They come in here when we're worshiping God and say, this is the most electrifying thing I have ever seen in my life. I feel the presence of the Lord. Why? Because we're anointed, we're praising the Lord, but when we go out, we want to keep the dove there. We want to keep the anointing there. So that wherever we go, don't know. I've been to restaurants with Pentecostals that were just rude. I wanted to get up and leave. I was called out to the hospital one time. Says, "This man a member of your church?" I said, "Oh yeah. Would you talk with him? He is the meanest person I have ever seen." Boy, made me feel good. How do you take that? Mean. Oh man. Romans 10, verse 8. And we're going to bring this to a halt here in a minute. "But what saith this? The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It doesn't say you're saved when you do it, but you've got to do this in order to be saved. "Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jews and the Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." You know, God is the God of everybody. Even the people that only believe in God, he's still their God. He's the God of the Hindus and the Buddhists, the Muslims, the atheists, the agnostics, the infidels, the pagans, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the Pentecostals. He's everybody's God. The problem with the Jewish people is that when Jesus came on the scene, they thought that God was a Jew. And he wasn't. Now, the Jewish people came out of God. God did not come out of them. And sometimes, here's the problem with us Pentecostals. We think God is a Pentecostal. He's not. We came out of God. I'm not downing the Pentecostal way. I'm simply saying, we came out of him. He did not come out of us. And for us to stay like we are and stay like God wants us to be, we got to run back to him. What did he say when he talked to those disciples that saw him come through the wall? He said, "Up until now you've been called servants, but from this day on I call you friends. I am a friend of God." In other words, intimacy, working together. Romans 8, verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" In other words, God has to anoint them and send them out. "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Isn't that great? You didn't know you had beautiful feet, did you? Why is it talking about the feet? Because it's talking about we carry the gospel to people. Your feet can be anointed just like your head is anointed, because you don't know which angle it's coming from. If it comes from all the different angles that are made up in this sphere, your fingers are anointed, your ears are anointed, your eyes are anointed, your tongue's anointed, your feet are anointed, everything is anointed. Oh, and our world must hear his words. He said he would never leave us, he'd never forsake us, he'd be with us always, even to the end of the world. That's the reason why we can sing choruses, "He's all I need." "I'm a friend of God. He's my healer, he's my savior, he's my deliverer, my provider." Turn your life totally over to him. If you're a Christian, turn your life over to him. If you're not, you need to turn your life over to him afresh tonight. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. We'd like for our praise singers to come, and would you stand with me? If you're holding back on God, open up your heart and turn it loose, just like you'd turn loose something that's you're grasping in your hand. Whatever it is, let it go. Just remember, you have all of heaven backing you. You think about it. You think about when you leave this place and go out of here. You got all of heaven backing you. I've had people to tell me, "I prayed, I sought God. I don't know where to turn." So turn to Jesus Christ. I've had people that, you know, they didn't tell me this, but you could tell what they were saying. They were saying, "Yeah, what good's that going to do?" Listen, he'll be your partner for life. Cast yourself upon him. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. My Jesus, my Jesus. Lift your hands and